notes, and they only started as soon as I needed to start recording. I apologize in advance. I'm going to really try. My friend taught me this trick where I can't remember if it's you hold your breath and swallow. I feel like that's the old school one. Or he said, like, swallow until you can't swallow anymore, which just feels like some sort of sexist joke he was making. Anyways, welcome back to the podcast. We're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey motherfucking Dara. Y'all, how is it already December? The actual fuck. It's holiday season. It's snowing places. What the hell? I mean, I feel like this year went by so fast yet so slow that I did nothing, that I did everything. I mean, speaking of doing things, hey, you know, we're 17 days away from my first feature film documentary being released, which is Crazy Cuckoo Nanners. Still not ready, but we're doing it. We're doing it anyway. And you can still get your ticket at moment.co/forgiveness. It is a live streaming premiere, but you can also watch it for up to 3 weeks after that with your ticket. And we're also doing a live Q&A after the screening. I'm going to be in Barcelona. Also, I'm so distracted because right behind my camera is the most gorgina sunset in Los Angeles I've ever seen in my life out my window. It's like strawberry swirls happening, and I got an ADHD back on track because I'm not on my Adderall today. Anyways, hey, hope you guys had a thrilling holiday. I had a very good Thanksgiving. I went over to old Zaggy's Kornfeld's house, got to play with my beautiful baby Lucia Lulu. It was just a great old family time. Like, they adopted me for the day. Their families were there. It was just like a cute ass, like, everyone cooking in the kitchen, set it up on a big table, buffet style. It was very nice. It was very good to get that, like, last little, like, I don't know, LA time in with my friends, because in 10 days I'm flying back to Tampa just for one or two nights, and then off to my new adventure, my new European life. It's crazy. I still can't believe I'm doing this, but alas, here we are. I've watched like 700 documentaries on the weekend off. I feel like everyone had a really long, hopefully relaxing, good weekend. Nothing like traumatic happened that I can recall. Yeah, I watched really good shows. I watched Thoughts and Prayers on HBO. I watched I think it's called like The Silent Victim on Netflix. Yeah, just a lot of really good stuff. What shows are you guys watching right now? Give me some like stuff I should watch on the flight in the comments below. Please and thanks. Also, this I just wanted to brag about. This isn't really podcast relevant. There's no segment for this, but I wanted to show you a deal and a steal that I got, baby. Maybe that's the new segment section. It's called This Deal of a Steal. I have been looking for house slippers. I've been looking for house slippers that are ones I could wear inside and outside in all weather terrain, because you never know what you're going to get in LA. One day it's fucking pouring down rain. The next day it's freezing cold. The next day you're sweating your tits off. And when I go to Europe, I know it's going to be like very cold probably, but also we're going to be in a bunch of different climates. I just needed good house slippers. And I was at the mall seeing Wicked 2 for Good, which I really loved. I didn't think it was as good as the first one, but how could you be as good as the first act? The second act is very hard. Anyway, not what I'm here to talk about. And I was perusing and I saw these pair of UGG shoes that were like $120. They were exactly what I wanted. Step in, but they have a back. They were really cute. And I was like, oh, I just do not want to pay this amount of money. But I took a picture of them and I was like, you know, maybe I'll ask for them for Christmas or something. But that is so stupid to get that much money for house slippers. Lo and be motherfucking hold. I had to go pick something up from Target for a brand deal that I shot this weekend. And what do I see? Whoopsh! The shoes. The shoes that are nearly identical to the ones that I wanted that were $128 for 20 doll hairs. They were having a Black Friday sale. Your girl was like, ooh, let me just get one of them. And they are so comfy. I don't think I've taken them off for 3 days. I'm about to sleep in these. No joke. I just want to tell you about that deal of a steal. And I think it's less about the name brand when it comes to shoes like that. It's more about durability. And I think, too, I would have been so devastated to get those house slippers dirty because they would be so expensive. And something like this, I'm like, yes, if they last a year, amazing. But if they don't, I'm not going to be like, holy shit, I can't believe there's dirt and snow and hippo feet all over these. And oh God, they're so comfy. They're the like Arden brand that they have there, which is very like luxe soft things. Anyway, that was my deal of a steal. How'd you like it? New segment. Oh, let me hit this Celsius. It's like taking a dab. Not sponsored, brought to you by Sparkling Orange. Celsius, live fit. The sky just keeps getting more beautiful behind y'all. I don't know what it is. God is visiting Earth right now because that shit is crazy. It is stunning. On one side, it's like purple and pink. And then on the other side, it's orange and purple. It's just beautiful. I wish you guys were here with me right now. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Ooh, I have something interesting. Did I forget my phone, though? Because I need my phone to play it. Let me see if I can pull it up on my iPad. I love my iPad for multiple reasons, but my favorite reason is because I use it for the podcast. Okay, wait. I think I can pull it up. Go to profile, saved. Okay. Collections possible. Okay, here we go. This is a segment from TikTok taught me. This is from the user named Sarah Bigger Stewart, and it's got a lot of comments and views. So let's just all take a listen, shall we? Okay, here it is.
You guys are picking at the bumps on your nails.
Oh, ouch. Sorry. Hold on. We got to pause for a second. I just dropped my iPad on my head. Ow. Fuck, that hurt. Okay, I'm not bleeding. That's all that matters. Okay, sorry. Let me try this again. Okay, I think I have to cover my face. Sorry. Let's try this again. Okay, turn the volume up. Here we go.
Some of you guys are picking at the bumps on your nips, on your areolas. Please, for the love of God, stop doing that. They're not pimples. They're not clogged pores. They're not ingrown hairs. They're something called Montgomery glands. Welcome to Taboo Tuesday, my weekly series where I talk about topics that other people find taboo or TMI, but I don't. So yeah, those bumps on your nips, on your areolas, those are Montgomery glands. They're there for a reason. Don't pop them. Not only can you get an infection, but again, they're there for a reason. What reason is that? Well, there's a few. First, they're protective. They do release this like very, very light, oily secretion that helps protect the nips. But their primary role is birth and breastfeeding a baby. They basically put out like a little signal by secreting a pheromone to your baby so that they know where to latch. Because I don't know if you know this, but newborn babies, they can't see shit. They can't see anything that's not like right here. And those little bumps are a pheromone so that your baby's like bullseye. So please don't pick at them or pop them. They're there for a reason.
Wow. Okay. I'm not even gonna lie to y'all. I thought, again, I'm a woman that thinks she knows it all. And I really, truly thought I knew. I didn't know those things had a name, first of all. Second of all, I've never picked or popped them. That's insane. But I did not know they were called Montgomery glands. And I thought the reason they existed was as like guardrails for your titties. Like, I thought they were like grippers for babies to hold on to. I had no idea that they put out a pheromone as like a, come here, little puppy, come on, have a lick. Have a little suckle. I literally thought they were just like handholds, you know, like when you go rock climbing, but for like a baby's mouth. Genuinely thought that's what they were there for. So you learn something new every day. You can't say this podcast isn't educational. RIP Zach. Remember y'all when he would always yell at me for making this podcast too educational, not funny enough? Ugh, gosh, I miss him. Maybe I'll have him on as our guest this weekend if I can get him when he's not busy before I leave town. I sure do miss his goofy ass. I the best part about having him over all the time was we had to record a podcast. I got to just hang out with him. And now that we don't have to record a podcast, I don't get to see him as much. Hippo, you better get out that trash can, boy. Hippo. Hippo's been dumpster diving lately. Oh, he just got stuck in the toilet roll machine thing holder. Did that scare you? Well, that's what you get for being too curious. Anyway, that's crazy. Because I also knew that, like, when someone has just had a baby, if their baby cries, their boobs leak as like a signal. But I thought that was crazy enough. I had no idea about the pheromones thing. Anyway, if you're picking out your titty bumps, stop it. Don't do that. They're there for, like they said, they're there for a reason. Why would we have all that extraness? Why would every single person with titties have that if not for a reason? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing that I don't understand about, like, this is, I'm not trying to shame people that have labia shame, but I'm like, clearly we need our labias for various reasons. And just because yours doesn't look exactly the same, like people don't look exactly the same. Of course your labias aren't going to look exactly the same as everybody else's. I don't know. I just think they're there for a purpose. And, you know, all labias are beautiful. Anyway, okay, here's another fun TikTok taught me. Are you trying to bring the damn toilet roll holder out to me? He definitely knocked it over. I can see his little ham bone turkey leg sticking out like he's going to bring, like he's about to pick something up and bring it to me. Hey, you, hippo. Sorry to all the people that are listening to this episode that have dogs in the house. Hey, you, what are you doing? Don't pick up that toilet paper roll holder. Come here. Come over here. What makes you think you could take that and bring it to me? This is the thing about teaching a dog a retrieve command is like suddenly they're like, I can pick things up and just move them all willy-nilly. I am very proud of the boy, though, who finally learned with me, which means coming between my legs. Hey, you. Why don't you have a lay down and sit and relax and enjoy the podcast like everybody else? I'm about to do a very funny segment. You want to know what the segment is? The segment is the best way to hurt a man's feelings. I know the reason why he's being a bad boy is because I took all of his like good chew toys away because he just had gum surgery because he has too much gums. He's got an overgrowth of gab and gums. And I took his chew toys away because he's not supposed to chew them yet. And now he's looking for things to just bring to me and chew on. You got to just relax. Okay, anyway, let me tell you the funny comments that I saw on a TikTok that a girl was like, hey, leave your best hurt a man's feelings comment, which you know me. I'm always here to drag men, to serve them a little dose of humble pie, a little ego reducer. So here they are, the funniest lines that you can use to hurt a man's feelings. This one's really good for like if someone's sliding in your DMs or if someone's like approached you at a bar. You just look them dead in the eye or you type this out to them and just say, you shouldn't veer out of your lane. Aw, you know, you should stick to what you know, you know? You shouldn't veer out of your lane. I think that's so funny. Or be like, oh my God, look at you trying to veer out of your lane. Almost make it sound like it's a failure for them. That was really big of you to try and veer out of your lane, but no, thank you. Just hit him with one of those. You know, stay in your lane. That's good advice for everyone. Okay, this one felt a little bit like old. This one feels like an old school insult, but I liked it. This is how you can call them ugly without calling them ugly straight to the face. You were queuing for intelligence when they were giving away beauty. You were queuing intelligence when they were just giving beauty away for free, I see. Wow. And you chose intelligence. Not to say I don't love a smart man, but you were really queuing for intelligence instead of beauty, huh? Oh, God. This one sent me. You asked them, hey, as an outsider, what are your views on pretty privilege? As an outsider, what are your views on pretty privilege? Dude, as an outsider, already sets me up. Like, what am I about to get? What, as an outsider, that is truly like, that's an interesting take. What's your take on pretty privilege? As an outsider, of course. Sent me. Oh, man, this one's good, too. I hope one day you love yourself as much as your mother clearly overdid. Damn! Because that's getting you and your mama. That hurts. That's a face only a mother could love. Oh, man. I hope one day you love yourself as much as clearly your mama overdid. Fucking damn. They're going to have them running back to their mama being like, Mom, am I pretty? Am I cute? Oh, my God. Wait, this one? I died. This is one that you can reply to on a guy who sends you like a nasty message on a dating site or like they send you a DM. This is if they have like a selfie, a shirtless gym selfie. You know what I'm saying? This or like a bathing suit pic or, you know, just one of those gym mirror selfies is the best reply. So brave. Can't wait to see the after. Can't wait to see the after. after. Implying you are the before. Oh my God. And hitting them with the so brave. That's always the best. So brave. That was so brave of you. I can't wait to see the after. Holy shit. End them. Oh my God. This one also so good. So good. This is if a guy is hitting on you and like pestering and just won't go away. Again, how to call them ugly, hurt their feelings without directly having to say so. Just like hold your hand up to them while they're trying to chat to you and just like, I'm sorry, my family takes our bloodline very seriously. I'm sorry, our family takes our bloodline very seriously. Like, I cannot be bothered with the looks of you. Holy shit. God, I would love to just be in the room when this happens, like Hamilton. I just want to be in the room when it happens, the room when it happens. This is another good one. This is when a man's being just like real, real fucking dumb, or like you're just over it and you just have to sit there and fucking take that shit when they're just mouthing off at the gab. Like, holy shit, just shut your fucking mouth. Just wait, you know, just silent. Kind of like you're looking at them like, very quizzically. And when they say like, what, you got something to say? Sorry, I'm not judging. I just genuinely didn't know they let people like you talk in public without supervision. I'm sorry. Where's your handler? Don't you guys have to like have, who let you out of your cage? I just didn't know you guys were allowed to just speak without permission like that. Like, damn, savage. That's what you're calling them. Shit. Oh my God. This is the best one. This is the end all be all. Just drop the mic, walk away moment. Just like when you really need to be like, get the fuck out of my face. This is definitely one for when you're in like that annoying, like, guy wouldn't stop bothering you when you politely decline, and then he inevitably gets mouthy and rude. This is when you throw this at them and walk away. The last time I saw something like you, I flushed it. Bro, not I flushed it. And that's so fucking funny to me, dude, for so many reasons. One, just talking about how you take fat shits. Just like, huge. I'm taking, I don't mind. I don't care if you know. I'd take a shit right on your face. I don't care. Second of all, you look like the shit I had. That's another good. Just say it outright. You look like a shit I had yesterday. Oh my God. Anyway, please, somebody use these on someone somewhere and let me know how it goes. I'm dying to know. Any other comments you have to any good one-liner walk-away burns, drop it in the chat. I want to know. Give me a comment below. And I had to set us up. I had to set us up with those good takes of being mean to men, because today's subject is all about, I hate to admit this, being a bad feminist and questioning, am I a bad feminist for certain XYZ things? I'm going to let you, confidants, be the judge of it. We'll go through it when we come right back.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Okay. I'm just going to admit this up front, because like watching those TikToks and reading those comments the other day, I forgot to say too that like there is no safer space that I feel than in a TikTok comment section. Like, I fully give myself permission to laugh at those comments. It's one of those things where it's like, if anyone knew what I was laughing at, I would be fully canceled. But the TikTok comments sometimes, bro, they are like, it doesn't matter who we're making fun of. We will be making fun of every identity under the sun, and everyone is in the comment section laughing together. And it is the only place where I'm like, oh my God, my dark humor feels seen, and I don't feel bad about laughing about this, because I just know, I look at the number and it's like 500,000 likes on that top comment, and I'm like, oh, I'm not alone out there. We want to laugh. We do want to laugh. And sometimes people just be saying shit that you're thinking and you're like, I would never say that out loud, especially as like a semi-public figure with a platform. No. But sometimes you just got to give it up for the people in the comment section. They really be doing the Lord's work out here. Sometimes the comment section is more entertaining than the video itself, dare I say. Dare I say. Okay, let's get into it. Before we start, too, I need to publicly apologize to all the feminists, all of our feminist ancestors, too, because what I'm about to say and confess are things that would make Gloria Steinem quake. Okay, she's clutching her pearls. Bell Hooks is just rolling her eyes at me. All right, I'm not proud of these things, but ever since that viral article came out a few weeks ago, where the woman said, like, having a boyfriend is the most embarrassing thing. And I just, like, can't stop thinking about it. And, like, especially when I'm on the dating apps and stuff, too, I just sometimes I'm just like, God, you're so embarrassing as a man. There's some, like, safetiness. There's some, like, girl club when you're just chatting with a girl and, like, flirting back and forth. Like, that it just feels like such a safe space. And sometimes it's so embarrassing to have to, like, teach men how to be and ask for things and tell them what you need. You're just like, God, why can't this is so embarrassing. So I haven't stopped thinking about that article, and it had me wondering, like, what other things am I embarrassed by as, like, a bi out proud feminist that I'm afraid to admit. And this is my safe space that I can come and talk to you confidants. Okay, because, like, look, I am a loud feminist. I know that I yell about reproductive rights daily, but God damn it, if I'm not perfect, if I do have some problematic takes on things that I like that I need to know, am I a bad feminist? Because as much advocacy as I do, there are sometimes I just want my boyfriend to lift me up, okay, and throw me on the bed and do very niche, romantic, girly things. There's moments where I'm like, oh my God, is this too trad wife or too, like, cute, or am I dressing for the patriarchy? And I, like, hear this voice immediately in the back of my brain that's like, am I a bad feminist? Am I part of the problem? So I know that feels a little bit deranged, but this is a safe space. So today we're doing, am I a bad feminist for liking this thing? Let's get into it. Confession number one, the fictional man problem. I'm just going to say it. I would let Pedro Pascal as Joel Miller from The Last of Us absolutely ruin my life. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Once the man scowls, my ovaries are doing the motherfucking Macarena, bitch. Like, I am a strong, independent woman built for the apocalypse. I own a gun. I've got an emergency go kit. I'm ready to take on the wild. Unless that man was like, stay behind me and let me protect you. And I'd be like, yes, daddy, walk me into the apocalypse. Whatever you say. I can't help it. I can't help it. And then, like, I feel all those feelings, and then I have the audacity to, like, scoff at girls who, like, stan Harry Styles. And I'm like, ugh, God, y'all, we're so much bigger than that. Come on. But I do pedestal a fictional man. I sure fucking do. Maybe it's because it's, like, the alternate reality. It's not a real world. Like, when I was reading the ACOTAR books, I was like, I'm not going to be one of those girls who just bop, 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 bop. My For You page was only resand imagery for, like, many weeks. And I had to do a full cleanse to reset my For You page, because that shit was just serving me hot fairy fictional men doing hot fairy fictional men shit for a long time. And I wasn't mad about it. Me and Lord DIY were texting them back and forth to each other, like, ooh, I like this version. Ooh, this is the version in my head. But God damn it, I was like, what am I doing? I am wasting so much time fantasizing about this kind of guy being my boyfriend. Like, I just know Resan memorizes a coffee order for a girl. You know what I'm saying? Like, brings it to her before the sun is up. Has some fucking butler service bringing it bedside. Like, oh, like, I need to own my own business and be a successful, proud woman that don't ever rely on no man, unless he is a billionaire fairy boy. And then I'm like, you know what? In fact, I will be a princess. Yes, I will absolutely give up all of my dreams and hopes and wishes and let you take care of me hand and foot. Holy shit. There's just something, too, about fictional men being so strong. Like, the way that they're able to do impossibly strong things. Oh, God, that made me sound like I was talking about Bella Swan, Edward Cullen. You're impossibly fast. It's super sparkly. But, like, I was watching Physical Asia and Physical 100 all last week, and Final Draft, if you're into the Korean shows, you know, on Netflix. And there is just something about a man picking up something heavy and throwing it around. It just gets me. Oh, wow, you could throw a bag of flour over a pole 700 times in a row. Wow. It's so dumb and niche and stupid, but fuck. It's hot. And there's that fine line between like the steroid user hot where you're just like, I'm not attracted to this because it feels so phony and showy, but like just a real strong dude. Oh, fuck. It gives me on. And don't get me wrong. There's some pretty hot ladies there too that like could beat the shit out of me and I'd let her for sherzies. But that's, I like that. That doesn't feel problematic. It's the men's strength that I feel problematic with. What is wrong with me? And that made me also remember the time that I saw a TikTok that was going viral about a guy saying like, oh, my girlfriend only watches or reads fairy smut. It must have been Drew, a flu. I can't remember. And she was saying like the reason why we're all so obsessed with smut is because the men in those books just know how to act right. Like no one has to teach them or tell them anything. Like they just figure it out. And I was like, period. I'm going to keep reading then. I'm going to keep on keeping on. I did Fourth Wing. I did all that shit. Is it Thrones of Glass or whatever? Let me know if I should do that next. I've been on my big audiobook kick, but I'm going to get back into my Kindle next. I'm going to get back into that Kindle life. So we must come up with a verdict. Is my confession of liking fictional men anti-feminism? Is it a problem? I'm going to go with drum roll. No, I think because it's make-believe made up, it is completely fine to like all my fictional men. I think it also gives me good standards. It helps with healthy fantasy. I think it's very attainable, minus the fairy part. That part might be a little hard for a lover to achieve, but I think it's okay. I think it's okay to stan a fiction man, because also I bet nothing will piss a man off worse than seeing you like thirst over a fictional man and then being like, I could do that, whatever, it's no big deal. Okay, then act like it. Maybe you should read it. Okay, confession number two. Once again, safe space. Sometimes I do like the romantic tropes that you know, only read about in books that I would never tolerate IRL, but like kind of would. Like when you're reading it and you're like, ugh, God, if a guy did this in real life, ugh. But I'm kind of in. I'm kind of down. Like in a book or in a TV show, when a man is like, you're mine, I'd be like, oh my God, I would punch him in. If you ever said that to me, I would punch you in the fucking face. I don't know, would I? Because if you said it to me with enough confidence and I was, you know, a couple days before my period, I might let you take possessive ownership over me. Like, also, I hate it when I'm reading a good book and it says the same shit that we've all read before. Like, he felt the wetness between my thighs, or like, I could feel the length of him through his pants. Blech. But also, it works. It works. I've been saying how much I love audio porn on this podcast for so long, and that gives me like a healthy dose of like bad but good sexy writing, and also great if you need your partner to learn how to talk dirty in bed. Highly recommend sending them your favorite audio joys, is what they're called. More romance tropes. That goddamn it, they work. When a man puts my hair behind my ear. What is it? What is it about it? It's just so cute. It feels so wholesome. Feels like they care. It makes me feel a little dainty girl. Like I'm just, oh, I just get that hair on my face. I can't, oh, I can't be bothered. You want me to, you're putting me back in my place. You're putting me back together. Ugh. Even saying this out loud, but fuck, I love it when it happens. And this is only a recent one that I'm about to confess. I used to think being a pillow princess was lazy and like so whatever. But God damn it, my current boyfriend is the only guy that has ever made me love having a man go down on me. That's right, I said it. If you are related to him, please stop listening because I'm about to expand on that. Wow, man knows how to eat a girl out. He just does. When we first hooked up and I was like, you're more than welcome to, but just a heads up, I'm not like, it's not going to, you know, get me across the finish line. I gave him the heads up. This man really said, I love a challenge. I am an athlete for a fucking reason. I want to be number one. And holy shit, do I love it now. And I don't feel guilty. Well, sometimes I feel guilty. I'm like, you know what? You should just take your time down there and go for it. Have at it. And I just try to really not feel bad because he loves that shit. I love that shit. I've really found like a good, nice, balanced sweet spot. No pun intended. And now I don't really mind being the pillow princess. And I think that's a new standard I'd like to have incorporated in my life. Oh, this one also hurts. This one also hurts. I kind of love it when a guy is like obsessed with me. Ooh, it's so unhealthy. But when writing these out, I was like, look, it is the reason why I stayed with my ex for too long, sir. Like, y'all remember that shit was so pathetic, bro. So pathetic. And when writing my new book too, I was like, oh, yep, that's what it was, is he filled a, it wasn't even a need or a desire. He filled a role that I had just like never had before, which was like, this man was obsessed with the ground I walked on, would like sniff my fucking sheets if I let him. You know what I'm saying? Like, just always looking at me like, God, you're just so beautiful. Oh my God, shut up. But I ate that shit up. I ate it for breakfast. I am low-key obsessed with that. I mean, maybe it would get annoying after a while. I don't know. We were together a year and change, and I really, truly, clearly didn't have a problem with it. But I also think it was unhealthy, and I think I stayed with them for too long because of it. So is it a problem? Probably. Another thing. This one, again, I kind of hate this, like, romance trope, but I kind of love it. When a guy stands up for you. I know. I've taken tons of kickboxing. I love telling a man off in public. There's nothing I like more than yelling at a guy and making him feel dumb. But boy, oh boy, there was nothing hotter than very early on when Henny and I were dating. The athlete and I went to my dentist appointment because I get really bad anxiety and have a really hard time like voicing my needs there because I've been traumatized with my jaw problems. And I told the dentist that I wasn't feeling the laughing gas like 7 or 8 times. And he was there trying to help me fix it. And I was squeezing his hand every time some shit went down. And when they left, they were trying to charge me for the laughing gas. And I was like, it didn't work. And they were like, well, we used it. And I was like, the whole time I was saying that I kept feeling things. And Henny fucking was like, this place is bullshit. No, we're not coming fucking back here. She should not have to fucking pay for it. We said it so many times when it was happening. And I was just like, oh my God, this man has got my whole ass a heart. And we definitely hadn't said I love you yet, but I just remember being like, yeah, that's going to be one for the athlete. 100%. That's, yep, a point. A point has been scored. I'm going to give them the best blowjob later. There's something about a guy standing up for you that's just hot. Like, I don't need it, but boy, did I fucking like that shit. Oh, so guilty. Yes, no. Is this bad of me? Am I a bad feminist? I'm going to go with kinda. I'm going to go with kinda because I think there's a very fine line of being like reliant on it versus enjoying it. And I think I have definitely stepped into the reliance place in my life in the past, which I am hopefully never going to do again. I feel like I learned a hard lesson, but I hate that I'm embarrassed to remember an entire relationship that I had with a person. Like with Sir, I literally am like, no, none of my friends ever bring it up. No, none of my family. I genuinely don't even think those people remember, but like when it does happen, I'm like, oh, so embarrassing. And so I feel like that embarrassment feeling is going to keep me from ever being like that again. So I'm going to have to go with yes, I am guilty for that one. Guilty, bad feminist. Carry it on. Okay, next confession. This is something I also wrote about in my book coming out next year. Wanting to be desired. Okay, look, every time I post a hot thotty photo, yes, I am doing it for me. Yes, I am doing it for the other girlies to hype each other up, to be like, yes, bitch. Those are my favorite comments. But I would be lying to you if I didn't say that also it doesn't feel good when that ex from 2014 who broke my heart, you know, sends a reaction, that sends a little DM. It sends a little reply to my story, you know? You know, he did make me lose a lot of my self-esteem back in my 20s, and now feels pretty good that he's noticing, you know? I'm like, okay, what's up? Also, guys that like ruined me in my past dating history, when they text me anytime now, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so powerful. Like, how dare they? What an idiot thinking that I'm going to respond. I also love proposal videos. Like, even though I don't believe in marriage really or want to get married necessarily, I love seeing another girl be desired, like getting everything she ever wanted. Like, when it's the perfect proposal, I will stop to watch every single proposal video or like pregnancy announcement. Like, I love seeing a man like just like love and desire the shit out of his girl. I do. So does that make me a bad feminist? Ooh, wanting to be desired. I go more in depth than this about like this subject in my book. And I am going to say, no, I think it is human nature to want to be, to like being desired. And I think the most important part of it, the reason why I don't think I'm guilty because of it, is because I need to desire myself the most. And as long as that is true, which it is, sometimes it may feel like it's not. That's the most important part. As long as I'm feeling myself, I think I'm the sexy, I think I'm the baddest bitch, I think I'm still in safe territory. So the fact that I want other bitches to drool over me, that doesn't make me a bad feminist. Okay? Period. Okay, this one, can't help it. I love these girly guilty things. I do. I wrote down the things that I feel the worst about loving. And I'm going to tell you, I do love my Stanley Cup. I do. I'm sorry. They got me with the marketing. They got me. I'm their target audience. And I do. I love my Stanley Cup. I drink it out of it every day. I can't help it. Capitalism got me. I also love my like 20-step skincare routine. I know that is like chronically girly, where they're just selling us more and more shit to make us feel bad. And I'm like not thrilled about my skin and my wrinkles and all that shit. Blah, 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 blah. But I do love it. It's like a moment of peace in my evening. I love the way that shit smells. I love the way I feel pampered, taking care of myself. Another girly girl thing that I love is smelling good. I love finding like a good spray, a good house scent. I've been using Joybird again, not sponsored, but man, their shit is strong as fuck. I just got my first ever Le Labo scent. I really was not put onto that shit. I thought it was such a waste of money and like, oh my God, I could not be more wrong how good that shit smells. I do also love the girly girl right of gossiping with my girlies on a good big fat couch at a hangout on the weeknight. I do. It's like a very small circle that I trust to do that thing with, but I sure fucking do love it. And my last girly guilty thing that I unfortunately do love is press on nails. I have been a nail hater and I still stand by getting your nails done is a complete waste of money for me personally. But boy, oh boy, do I love a press on nail. And this one fell off today, funny enough, into my middle finger, but I will be pressing it back on in about an hour. Also, Target had some really good nail deals on their Black Friday sales for their press on nails that I think everyone should go take a look at. They're a good brand, Olive and June, I think it is. And they were only like $4. They were in their like clearance section. I was like, okay. So does that make me guilty? I think absolutely yes, because the majority of these things are capitalism at their finest and a guilty pleasure at their best. You know what I'm saying? Like either way you cut it, it's something I subscribe to either like feel better about myself. That's totally not necessary. Like we could all live off of affirmations and like good self-talk, but a Stanley water bottle and some like BHAs and some fucking collagen protein powder scoops. Like I just can't help myself. So yes, I do think I am a guilty feminist for loving those things. Okay. To our last little section, where's the nuance, right? Like what is the line? I think, you know, knowing the difference between healthy desire versus internalized patriarchal bullshit is important when examining your feminism. It's okay to like want to be pursued versus I don't think it's safe for your man to have like a notebook moment where he's climbing the Ferris wheel to force you out on a date. Like that was just not, that was not it. But we all loved Noah for that moment, didn't we? We did. You're allowed to want traditionally feminine shit. You're allowed to want romance. You are allowed to be horny for fictional men like me. Just don't confuse desire with dependency. And that's the rub, kids. There's a difference between desire and dependency. And I think where we get lost, especially in wanting things like to be taken care of, to be pampered, to just like not have to work so hard, to share, like all of those things are because we want to be able to share the emotional labor of being a woman. We want to share the like task work that we are presumed to keep up with. And it's been very nice to be a girl who has embraced like the no makeup look in these last few years since the panini, actually since like leaving BuzzFeed, I think, just like, working from home, like not having to get up every single day and full beat and shit. Like there really is something to just finding the balance of desirability versus dependency of it. Right. Cause I remember back in the day when I was still dating the DJ, like before he came over, I would always put on like sweats and do my makeup, but they would be like really cute sweats. It was like so curated. And you don't like, looking back on that now, I'm like, that wasn't bad. That was just like, I wanted to look hot. Would I do that shit now? Absolutely the fuck not. I do not have the time or energy. I cannot give a fuck about that. Like, I'm like, you're going to see me like this anyway, so who cares? So knowing that between desire and dependency, let's go to our last section, which is your listener confessions. These are things that you guys told me that you are not proud of, but you do think it might make you a little bit of a bad feminist. But knowing that there's a difference, remember, between desire and dependency, let's hear them. Okay, this user said, I like when he tells me to be good. Be a good girl. Ooh! She says, I know I'm not proud. Listen, I think that is completely fine. That is role playing. That is a moment in time. That's a little let's get back to the house and bone moment. That's not like your lived in reality. Unless it is, then I'm a little worried. But if it's just like that sexy little like back the neck grab when he grabs your scruff like you're a little fucking kitten. Ooh, I do love that shit. I think that's okay. I think that goes under the desire. You desire someone to do that. You're not like dependent on someone being able to do that to date them. Okay. This person wrote, I love men who grill. I don't know why. I don't even eat meat. Okay, I'm going to go with, I don't think that's problematic, but I do worry about this being some sort of like father kink, like provider kink, right? It goes very caveman-y, evolutionary, like meat, hot, fire, me, make food for family. Like it does. What's your relationship with your dad like? That's what I'd be curious to ask this user, but I don't think it's a problem. This one, I love that they put this because I think this is true for a lot of women. She said, I want a wedding, a big dumb one. I want the dress and the photos and the whole bullshit spectacle. I said it. I love that. You know, I'm going to say, I do think that is problem. I think that makes you a bad feminist. I'm sorry, because what my line goes into, like, are you falling into the capitalism patriarchy trap? And I think in this instance, the whole wedding industry really is. And someone should do a deep dive onto the wedding industry scams. I would love to actually watch that doc series on Netflix. Maybe I'm the one who should make it. Okay, this next person wrote, I like being picked up and thrown around. Again, I don't think that's a problem. I think that that's something to desire, not depend on. Like, I don't think you're going to be like, I'm breaking up with this person or not dating them if they can't pick me up. But if you are, I do think that's a problem, but I don't get that feeling. So I think you're all right. Shit. Get tossed around, girl. Get tossed around like a basketball. This person said taking your partner's last name. That's so funny because me and my partner have this conversation all the time where I'm like, you know, if we ever did do anything like that for, you know, purposes of distanced legalities, if you catch my drift, no fucking way am I taking his last name and no fucking way is he taking mine. But here's something I learned on TikTok. You can literally make up a last name when you get married with someone. You can literally create your own last name and you both take it. I think that's so funny. Like, I think we need to be doing that way more. How fun. You can literally name yourselves anything. Yeah, I'm doing that shit. So taking your partner's last name, I'm going to say problematic just because what it's like derived from in patriarchy and ownership and land and blah, blah, blah. I don't love it. And I'm very like against doing that. So I'm going to say problem. And finally, this person wants to know, are they a bad feminist because they like it when a man drives? No, I think that makes you smart. I think being a passenger princess, once again, whether in the bedroom or in the actual car, I think that gives you lots of opportunity to get work done, to read, to have a snack, to gab, to do the things that like normally would take up time of just sitting there and driving. Make sure your guy is a good driver, though, because sometimes I'm such a backseat driver, I get nervous not to drive, and I feel like that annoys people, so I'm trying to be better at letting go. So I could probably take a tip from your book. Ah, confidants, what did you think? Do any of these resonate with you? Do you think I'm a bad feminist for wanting certain things? Did any of those listener answers rub you the wrong way? I hope you're rubbing yourself the right way this week as we go into this chilly fall winter. I cannot believe 2025 is nearly over. Hey, next time I talk to you, I don't know if I'll have moved yet. I haven't moved yet. Okay, so nothing to change. Hey, by the way, end of the year, holiday gift for me? Rate this. 5 stars. If you're not going to rate it 5 stars, please don't rate it at all because I am sensitive. Don't forgo getting your ticket at moment.co/forgiveness. You can also get the Lexapro iced coffee t-shirt at Freddie Tyler Paul's website. We got a lot going on, babies, confidants. Thank you for always being with me. Anytime I'm like, oh, should we still do the podcast? I'm so rejuvenated by every episode. So thank you for putting me in your ears. Thanks for having a woman on your timeline. And I'll see you next week, cuties. Bye.